We started out this weekend by looking back, a little retrospective on 10 years of what God has done in and through the True Woman Movement and True Women living out this message. Now, as we come to the final session, we want to talk about looking forward. Where to from here? And I want to start that conversation by saying that after you leave today, there'll be a place that you can sign up on truewoman18.com to take the 30-day I Choose Truth challenge. We love these 30-day challenges because God has spoken to many of us this weekend about things. There are women getting set free in many different areas. I had someone texting me who's on her way home. She had to leave a little early, but she told me just a few minutes ago how much Dr. Mason's message was ministering to her as she was listening to it on her way home from the conference. So God is setting people free in some really critical areas. But we need to continue in the truths God has put into our hearts. And that takes time, that takes practice, that takes throwing off lies and replacing them with truths. So our team has come up with a 30-day challenge. It's called I Choose Truth. And I want to encourage everyone to take that challenge. If you go to truewoman18.com, you'll find that. Now, thank you, ladies. It's been a joy to pray with you for months. We've been looking forward to this weekend, and here we come close to the end. And I just want to talk a little bit about where to from here as individuals and then for this movement. So as you think about the world, not just us, but what God is doing in this world, from your perspective, and I'm just going to let different ones of you jump in. I won't call you out because I don't know which of these questions God may have put a response to on your heart. But as you look around, we represent different geographic and demographic places in the body of Christ. What do you see as being some of the needs and concerns among women that we need to be aware of, alert to, and responding to? And Betsy, you're nodding like you got something you want to say. Or were you just agreeing with me?
I agree with you. But I can answer. I think that in most of our Hispanic countries, there's a lack of discernment. Because we have in most of our countries, and I would even say in most of our churches, there's a very distorted gospel that is being preached. Mm-hmm. So if you don't get the gospel right, you won't get biblical womanhood right. So I think that one of our greatest need as women is first the gospel, and second to come to the truth in order to transform our minds and to have biblical discernment.
Thank you. That's so foundational. That's that foundation that Dr. Mason talked about, that if that's cracked, mm-hmm. then the building's going to be mm-hmm. a mess. It's not going to stand. Yes. So our women's ministries, none of that's going to stand if it's not built on mm-hmm. the foundation of gospel truth. Mm-hmm. Robin, you look like you had something on your heart there.
I do. I wish. Okay. How many of you guys online shop? I do, because I'm always looking for the clearances. But I wish there was a place that we could just have like a live chat where people could post their, I have a question. I don't have somebody in my life that maybe can answer this biblically, and I want to be a biblically based woman. And so if we could maybe in the future come up with a live chat spiritually, where maybe True Woman would have a spot. You need somebody to talk to. Plug it in. Let me answer that question. Because we can ask our questions on Facebook, but you will definitely not get biblical-based responses.
I think that touches on something else, asking the questions on Facebook. And it seems that there's a lot of confusion and that there's a lot of peer pressure to believe a certain way. And I really love this conference because we're talking about truth and that there's an absolute standard and an absolute mooring. And I think that there's just a lot of confusion right now amongst women. There's fear because there seems to be a lot of instability. So I think women are feeling more unsettled than ever before. There was a survey done, it was several years ago now, that the more independent women have become and the more that we have claimed our rights and the more, quote-unquote, equal that we've become, that women's happiness has proportionately dropped. And I think that the happiness proportionally dropping was because women were looking to those things for fulfillment. thinking, once I get that, it's like that apple. As soon as I get that, I'm going to be happy. My dreams are going to come true. And I think that the next generation of women are looking at their moms who bought into that dream of my independence, my career. Soon as I'm a professional woman and I make it, then my dreams will come true. And they're finding that they're not seeing that that's being the case. And so they're looking for different answers. So you've seen this whole resurgence. It's been an interesting phenomena. The moms rejecting things like cooking or homemaking or there's been a resurgence in like some of the girls in my area are canning, and I'm going, what are you doing? Like canning fruit? Are you serious? But there's just almost
you got a problem with canning fruit?
No. You know what my problem is my mom used to make me do it for half my summer. So, but that was, I don't have a problem with that at all. But what I'm saying in that, and knitting and sewing, things that my generation rejected, there's a whole resurgence of interest in that. And I think because women are still, they still have that emptiness. They're still looking for answers, and they're seeing that some of the things that their mothers, my generation, you know, the women of the 60s and 70s who claimed their independence and their professionalism and careers, still doesn't satisfy.
Let me ask, as thousands of women go back into our, like this weekend is not the real world, right? Some of you, when you came the other night, you were like concerned about what was going to happen to your children while you were gone, and were they going to be cared for, and you were nervous. And now you've forgotten you have kids. I mean, it's like Peter, Lord, can we just stay here? This is really amazing. But we're coming down off the mountain. We're going into valleys where there are real people with real issues, with real needs, including our own. But as we go back into our homes, our workplaces, our churches, what are some of the practical ways we as individual women can not only survive, but thrive and take with us to others what God has given us here?
I'll jump right on that, because something I wanted to say in my message today but didn't have time is that we can expect an assault of our emotions as we go home. One of the reasons I know that is because when you're hungry, lonely and tired, that's when the emotions really kind of settle in, the bad ones kind of settle in. And because, you know, God is honored and glorified by what he saw happening here this weekend, but the enemy is threatened by it. So he is going to make you completely annoyed that your husband fed your children Fruit Loops for breakfast, lunch, and dinner in an inordinate way. And I think it's really important to, as you go back, just mentally reset. What truth do I need so that I don't just go home and say, wow, I had this awesome spiritual high, but I live it out, expecting that something's going to have gone wrong at home. That the taxes didn't get reported correctly, there's mold in the basement, the baby's sick, whatever. So really put on truth. Mentally take a break and just say, I'm going to act like a true woman, have the emotions of a true woman, because the word is in me.
And the word, that's what's so critical. If we can only take one thing away with us, I think it's that we've got to get grounded in the word of God, counseling our hearts according to truth all the time. I don't know how anybody can be sane. I know I couldn't be, apart from, look, can I take my stuff from you? Sorry, I dumped it all on Mary so I can hold this up. This, your word is truth. Sanctify them according to truth. We choose truth, we choose the word. And if we don't have this in us, filling us, we're going to be tossed about by all kinds of false teaching and crazy emotions, right?
Yeah, and I think that it is impossible for us to live it by alone, by ourselves. We need our community, and we need our local church, because we live in times, you know, like conferences and events and like the adrenaline that we're experiencing right now.
And
it's not
and false community. Like,
exactly.
You know, that our thumbs are, that's our community.
Exactly. So when we go back, our church won't make us feel this way. So what we need to understand that if we want to be coherent, we need to stick to the truth in community. Because that's you know, we've been learning about Titus 2 a lot in Revive Our Hearts. So don't wait for the other conference to feel like that sisterhood going on. Do it as you go home and remind yourself that you belong to a local church, not to a conference, right?
And that the local church and the community doesn't have to be perfect to be really, really vital and helpful.
Right? Yes. Exactly.
And I don't know how many of you have YouVersion on your phones or whatever. That's what I've done to prepare for this conference, an immersion into Genesis. And do you know that YouVersion will read to you while you do the laundry? Or you get to have scripture. And then, Risa, who do you listen to? So the young people that quote scripture, and he's got this nice vibe. Street Life, ladies, download that. Let your kids play Street Lights. Let your kids play it because it's truth and it's so dynamic that you end up kind of boogie into truth.
Yeah, it's kind of like reading scripture with a spoken word type of.
Yeah. But I want to go back to what you just said, Nancy, about that your church doesn't have to be perfect.
Not only does it not have to be, it isn't.
It isn't, and it's easy. But I also want to say we're not. Perfect.
Exactly.
Like if you saw behind the scenes some of the stuff that we struggle with or, you get to see an encapsulated version of us being on our best behavior. Right?
And looking nice.
And looking
nice. Like, I'm even wearing high heels. And look at my nails.
Oh, speaking of perfect, I'm going to be your best girlfriend right now.
Thank you.
Oh, my.
Did I get it? It's still there.
Yeah, just on the bottom.
Praise the Lord.
Yay!
We need each other.
Put on the truth, take off the lipstick from your teeth. Yeah.
Did I get it?
You did. You look gorgeous. Shiny, shiny teeth.
We need each other, for sure. Listen, I said to somebody the other day, if we had this all together, if we were perfect, we wouldn't need the gospel. We wouldn't need Jesus. So we do need him. We need each other to point us to him. I'd love to just dream for a moment here. Mary, you and Holly and Kim and I sat in that condo dozen or 15 years ago dreaming about a movement of a countercultural revolution and a true woman movement. We didn't call it that then, but that's what we were talking about. And God has done so much, but by faith, I believe there's so much more he wants to do and so much more that needs to be done. So let's just dream about, and you dream with us too, what might God do? What might it look like if there were thousands of true women who were devoted to Christ and his word and who were committed to live out this message wherever he places them? Broken vessels, the light of Christ shining through them. What might that look like? What might change? What might be different? Let's just draw a picture that we can start to believe God for.
Well, I think one of the things that has really excited me this weekend is to see the whole international aspect of this and just the hunger in women who have heard this for the first time. You know, some of them have been to one conference or they've tuned in online and it's just stirring and exciting their hearts. I mean, we've been living in this for the last 10 years and sometimes you go, oh, this is, haven't we already said it all in a sense? And yet I think the pressures of culture right now, there's such an assault on manhood and womanhood, there's trying to be this leveling of distinctions or just blurring of lines that we get to define it for ourselves, that I think the hunger is just increasing. And what I have seen is that it used to be, to me, I used to see womanhood as a discipleship issue that came after salvation. And what I'm seeing now is that a lot of women are just being so attracted when they see a woman living out the gospel as a godly woman that they're going, wow, she's the woman that I want to be. And not just the person I want to be, but the woman that I want to be. So I think there's increasing darkness. The darkness is increasing. But I think that at the same time, the light increases and it becomes even more powerful, more potent, more compelling, more winsome. And I think That's why you've always had a heart for revival. That's been the basis of your ministry. And we've talked about this before. Like, how, you know, and as do I, just a dream for revival. Mm-hmm. And it just blew me away, but it wasn't totally unexpected when the women from the Dominican came and were renewed in who they were as women, and then went back and revival broke out and their marriages were healed and their church was transformed. So for me, I would like to see that happening much more, and even more internationally. I would like to see, we're so rich here. We have so much, so many resources. We can listen to speakers. I think this weekend we were competing with a bunch of other large conferences that were going on, and there's just so much. And yet this is touches such a felt, perceived need. And so I think that God can just take that and run with it.
Yeah. As you see the international focus, my heart is always beating for the next generation,
absolutely,
the intergenerational focus. And I'm thrilled to see a lot of the younger 20-somethings and 30-somethings at this conference. And as I've been hearing them, they have been sensing your leadership and responding to just creating a conference that feels more comfortable for them. At the same time, that generation is very much in crisis in terms of belief. And the percentage of 20-somethings who claim to be atheists right now in our country is double that of the whole rest of the adult population put together. That's very alarming. And many of them, if you ask them, some of them walked away from the church. It wasn't like they grew up in atheist homes. They walked away from the church. Of the top six reasons they did leave is because they felt like we were afraid of their doubts and their questions. And so I think going into the future, we should not be allergic to their doubts. We should not be allergic to their questions. If we have the truth, there's no harm in them asking the questions. And many times when I sit down with a 20-something and hear scary questions, it sharpens my faith because I see where I'm blind. And I'm having preferences, not biblical conviction. So let's enter into that conversation.
I think in that respect too, I think that womanhood looks different in different cultures, and that we really need to stay true to the Word of God and know that application looks different in different women's lives and different cultures, and the emphasis that we see for, you know, perhaps when we're speaking with Muslim women, the emphasis on biblical womanhood may need a different emphasis in terms of a truth of scripture that has been a lie in their culture that needs to be corrected. And I think whenever we're on a road, there's different ditches, and I think that we can fall into this one or we can fall into that one. So,
and
so
you think that's
constantly
true also different for generations, maybe.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. I'm glad you mentioned that, Mary, and we're going to close with this because I want us to have time to affirm the True Woman Manifesto together. But one of the things that's really been on my heart is that we not get so focused on women here who look like us or raised in a culture similar to ours, but that we have a heart for the world, and not just the near world, but those who are in places that you think, how could they ever be reached? And what could we ever do to be a part of that? But the light of the gospel is for the nations. It's for the peoples of the earth. And I think about these hundreds of millions, a billion or more perhaps, of people, women in the Muslim world. And we're finding that the biblical womanhood message is an entree to the gospel, because they've never been told, you have value, you have worth, God loves you, you matter to Him. And so their hearts are being opened up to the gospel through this message. And what could God do with the prayers of thousands of women, and some going even to these parts of the earth or being engaged in ministries? I think about Sabrina, who's been here. She and her husband working their heads and hearts off to, I don't think you can work your hearts off, but whatever, working hard to make resources available to the Persian world, but struggling for finances and support. I'm saying, Lord, what could we do to lift them up to help make those kinds of ministries possible? So God's going to put His vision, His passion in your heart. I'm thinking right now as we move to this portion of the manifesto of that passage in Psalm 67, the first two verses says, may God be gracious to us and cause His face to shine upon us. So that's for us. God is merciful and gracious to us and causes His face to shine upon us. But why? So that your saving health may be known among all nations and your glory among all the peoples. One day the glory of the Lord will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. And until that day, our task is to say, yes, Lord, to let Him work in us and through us to shine His glory. And don't think that because you're not sitting up here on this platform, that that's our job and that you're not a part of that. God has you picked out. God has Jennifer Smith working in that transition home there in Newport, Arkansas. God has you in your home or your workplace or your university or your high school. He's sending you from this place to be filled with His Spirit, to reflect His beauty where He has put you. And then what collectively might God do? Well, come back in 10 years and we're going to celebrate by God's grace, whatever that is.